Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Thursday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters. And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is more than a house. It's a personal paradise. Get yours. Rocket Mortgage. Push button. Get mortgage. Major League Baseball's had a notable spring training already, namely with the Houston Astros, but also the injuries to the New York Yankees, and soon-to-be pace of play changes and perhaps even larger changes to the playoff structure. Major League Baseball's in a very interesting pivot point in its history. Joining us here on the show to discuss is an 11-year MLB veteran, most notably with the Baltimore Orioles, where he began his career. He's also a member of the MLB Network, and he is the author of the new book, State of Play, The Old School Guide to New School Baseball. Billy Ripken is our guest. Billy, good morning.
Good morning. What's going on?
Not much, buddy. Appreciate you joining us this morning, and I'd like to know your thoughts on this snitches get stitches idea from Pedro Martinez, David Ortiz, and maybe some other old school guys. You played in their era as well. Did you feel like Mike Fiers was out of line doing what he did on record?
Out of line, I don't know. It might have been something that I might not have done, but if this guy actually went to different organizations and saw these young pitchers just getting smacked around, and he really thought that they were getting jobbed, and he spoke up. I think that some of us that have been removed from the game in some of these things that are currently happening in the game, maybe we should use the same kind of thing. If you wouldn't have said it then there's no reason for you to chime in, you know, now. So I would probably not have done such a thing, but I'm not condemning Mike Fiers for what happened, because let's face it, I do believe that this game is going to be better off in the near future after we get through the Red Sox investigation, and I think the commissioner's office and I think the Players Association will get together and they will levy the penalties that's going to be moving forward, and I think overall the baseball game is going to be better for whatever just happened.
So you hesitated, though, when I asked you about it, and I think that's interesting because most fans and media go, oh, Mike Fiers is a hero. He exposed this whole thing, and we needed to know that the Astros were cheaters. But you must also have the feeling of having been in a clubhouse or locker room that Fiers went against a certain code. Would that be fair?
Fair, and there's always a fine line with everything we do in this world, whether it's sport or anything else, there's always that line that you get to, and sometimes if you stay underneath it, you're fine. Sometimes if you go over top of it a little bit, you're fine. I think the extreme cases is where you go. I don't think you can just jump out right away and make a definitive statement, because we're a little bit removed from this situation. Certainly fans that were not in there that have never been a part of it are completely removed from it. And I haven't been in uniform with an organization since 1998. But there is a little bit of pause, but I can certainly see both sides of this easy enough.
Billy Ripken, our guest here on the show. The name of your book is The Old School Guide to New School Baseball, State of Play. What's the biggest difference with new school baseball than when you played 20 years ago?
Well, I don't think there's really that big a... I don't think the game's changed near as much as everybody says the game has changed, because my father used to say, you hit it, pitch it, catch it better than the other team, and you win. And you can still look out there and see successive teams doing just that. The reason why I put this book out there is there's just been this onslaught over these past few years about the new school and all their metrics and all their analytics, and it almost seemed to me like the old school baseball guy never used numbers, never used information. We just threw bats and balls out on the field and said, go get them, and we'll fly by the seat of our pants, and by gut instinct alone, we will go play the game. And that's just not the case. Old school guys have always used numbers, have always used information, and will continue to do so. So I just felt like these past few years, with all the conversations swirling around this new school and these smart people now in the game, there was an implication that old school baseball guys weren't smart, and I just disagree with that 100%.
Yeah, you sound pretty fired up about this. So do you feel like the older generations of baseball get a bad rap for not maybe being thinkers of the game?
Well, absolutely. The noun now is analytics, and that surrounds itself around what? Any bit of information you could possibly ascertain and try to shove into baseball? Well, if you talk, and let's just talk about some crusty old school manager, and he's back in the game now, Dusty Baker. If you talk to Dusty Baker, you'll understand that he's very analytic, and analytic to me means you think about things. If there's a problem, you break it down. Once you break it down, you find where the flaw is and you fix the problem. That's the very basics of analyzing something. So the conversation that swirls now that Dusty's back in the game, I've answered more questions about that than anything else, of saying, okay, what do you think about this old school guy coming into an analytic organization? And I said, well, if you're thinking Dusty's not analytical, you're sadly mistaken. So I think in some regards, there's so much conversation going on that the old school guy, yes, is thought of this guy that just has experience on his side, and that's it. And that's just not the case.
And I think I could be guilty of that as well, looking at Dusty Baker as an old school guy coming into a new school league. I wonder, from your vantage point, what's the biggest problem right now staring baseball in the face?
The biggest problem? You know, I don't think there's as much wrong with the game as
pace,
other people seem to think.
Pace of play, lack of action, not a big problem in your eyes?
Well, strikeouts to me, well, I don't know the difference between a 305 game and a 258 game. And I may be on the different side of that street, but 7 minutes longer or shorter doesn't matter to me if I see good baseball going on. One thing that the new school did bring into this game, because they claim they brought everything into the game, is the strikeout. Because their thought process when they infiltrated was an out's just an out. So with that said, strikeouts rising means the ball's not put in play. The reason why strikeouts are rising is because they say, okay, go get your ace swing off three times, and if you walk back to the dugout, it's okay because it's just an out. If you happen to hit one, it might be a homer, so there's no action there. But if you strike out with a man on second and third and one out, a strikeout's just not a strike, an out then. The teams that have won over the past few years, and I can go and look no further back than 2019 Washington Nationals, who, by the way, put one and two guys in their lineup that were table setters. Their best hitter hit third, not second. And their cleanup hitter, Soto, hit fourth. So Rendon led the planet in ribbies. And yes, ribbies still count. And Soto, even though Rendon led the league in ribbies, Soto still had 100-plus. Because those guys did not give away at bats with two strikes. They didn't want to strike out and walk back to the dugout. They put the ball in play. So the lack of action that's going on into the game it can be fixed. It can be overturned, because if you look at the teams that actually win, they're the teams that actually put the ball in play more than the teams that just walk back to the dugout after strikeouts.
Billy Ripken, longtime veteran in Major League Baseball, author of the book State of Play, The Old School Guide to New School Baseball, joining us this morning here on the DA Show. I think it's interesting that you kind of phrase the new school guys as they. New school claimed. They claimed. It sounds like you feel like maybe the analytics guys are a little arrogant about what they think they brought to the table.
There's two trees. So one, we have the new school tree, and there's a few branches on the new school tree that, I will use your word, that have some smugness and some arrogance about them. Now there's the old school tree, and there's a few branches on those trees that have some bullies hanging out on those trees. So those sets of branches that I just talked about will never get along. In my book, if I dismiss something of the new school variety, for example, defensive run save statistic, I use numbers and information to dismiss it. So I'm all for information. I'm all for numbers if they can help me. If you're my new school general manager and I'm your old school manager and you send me some down, some out of the box thinking, and I go, I appreciate your work. These are nice nuggets, but I'm sending out of 10 of these nuggets, I'm sending 8 nuggets back to you because they don't apply. 2 of these nuggets will make us better overall. So if you keep sending me good stuff, the inside of my box will get bigger as I think and go along. But you'd have to trust the fact that I've experienced some things and I know what to accept and what not to accept. So there needs to be a balance. There should be a balance. I enjoy the younger guys coming into the game with energy and ideas. But the energy and ideas cannot overtake what goes on in the clubhouse and on the field, because they just really don't know what needs to happen in the clubhouse and on the field.
Big rules change this year, 3 batter minimum. That's a pretty seismic change to the game of baseball. What do you think about it?
You know, let's see this play out, because here's the thing. If there's a 3 batter minimum, except if you come in like in 6 1/3 and you get the last 2 outs of the inning, you can be taken out. If you come in after 2/3 of an inning and get the last out, you can be taken out. So I'd really like to see how much this 3 batter minimum really affects what goes on. And I don't believe, like some, that this will kill the left-handed specialist. I think it might actually enhance the left-handed specialist, because lineups are set up lefty-righty-lefty sometimes. So you bring the guy in to start and face the lefty, you get him out. If you pitch carefully to the righty, you might get him out, and then you got the next lefty. So instead of seeing this one, you know, you might have to have 2 lefties in the pen if you're going to go left, right, left and match up. But I don't know, and I get it in theory, and I look at it, but we've got to let this thing play out a little bit to see if this is really that monumental, or is it kind of just we're all up in arms because, oh, my gosh, what are they doing? They made a rule change, and this is killing the manager's strategy. I don't think it's going to come into play as much as it looks like it might, because of that 2 outs in an inning or 1 out in an inning. They can only face 2 batters, or they can get 2 batters out, and they can be done anyway.
Billy Ripken is our guest this morning here on CBS Sports Radio. Before I let you go, I want to talk about the food chain, the power structure of North American sports, because there's some MLS soccer power brokers owners that are saying, you know what, we're set up to chase down baseball and we're set up to chase down hockey and become the third most popular sport in North America over the next 10 or 15 years because we have youth on our side. There's not a lot of young people watching baseball. They got a lot of young people watching MLS soccer. What do you think about the future or that type of claim over the next 10 or 15 years?
Well, I think there's enough people and there should be enough interest to have anything, you know, kind of be a major sport. It seems that football and basketball, from what you're telling me right there, are 1 and 2. So hockey and baseball are fighting out for the bronze medal, and now soccer wants to come in and try to do that. But to me, there should be enough. The fan base that baseball has, yes, it's more of the older variety, and the commissioner's office is trying to do new innovative things to maybe generate some interest for some younger fans. But I don't want us to lose the older fans. I don't want us to get carried away and say, okay, we're just going to start ignoring the 45, 50, and 60-year-old. That shouldn't happen. But I think there's enough room and there should be enough interest out there for all sports to do well. And let's face it, baseball is doing extremely well when you see the players getting the glue that they're getting, because the reason why they're getting the glue is because the owners can afford to do it. So if that's the trend as far as the money goes in baseball, I'm not so sure how someone like the MLS is going to come in and topple that right away.
It's a good point. Billy Ripken joining us this morning on the show. His new book, State of Play, The Old School Guide to New School Baseball, available and a pretty good read as we get into spring training before regular season opens up a little more than a month from now. Billy, this was a lot of fun, man. Let's do this again.
All right, dude. Appreciate you.
Okay, you too.
Have a good day.
You too. Billy Ripken joining us this morning on the show. Very cool conversation. Really good conversation about the state of baseball. So to finish my point from last hour about that MLS claim, like I said, yesterday was the MLS 25th season kickoff, 25 years now of that league, and multiple owners, LAFC's owner, owner of the Miami Club, New Miami Club, said, hey, we are poised to take over as a premier sports league over the next 15 years. And one claim was, hey, in 30 years, 25 years, 30 years, we're going to be the premier league, like the English Premier League. Here's my thoughts on that. I don't think it's reasonable to expect to take over the English Premier League's notch as the league of interest, the league of note across the United States of America, but also across the world. That's more important because you can't really control very much how you are branded and marketed in all these different distant countries that have grown up and have culturally looked at the Premier League or the European leagues as the league. I don't think it's worthy of talking about that yet because the English Premier League prints money. They've got new stadiums going up where they can. They have all of this incredible academy infrastructure and just crazy global television rights, fees, and money pouring in. So their exposure, their cultural significance, and their money, and their, I mean, they've got chic money. They've got oligarch money. You know, they've got the type of money that will never run out. When you have like Saudi oil money, you've just got a totally different type of wealth that you can spend on anything you want to spend, on any player you want to spend to make your league the most powerful. I think a more reasonable chase down is hockey and baseball here in the States. And this is why I think that's reasonable for MLS to say and believe. Two things. Number one, you have demographics on your side. The United States is a changing demographic country. And so with a more diverse population, you just have more people, generally speaking, as sports fans, that are more inclined to watch soccer or grow up and find soccer to be just part of what they like. Oh, it's here? I'll watch it. Oh, my dad watched it. My mom watched it. My grandparents watched it. They're into soccer. Okay, now I can be into the soccer that's around here. That's just a changing population demographic of the U.S. The other thing that MLS has on its side is it's a young person's league. When you go to matches, you go to games, you have a lot of teenagers and 20-somethings. You go to Atlanta United, and they bang out Mercedes-Benz Stadium, home of the Falcons. That's not 50-somethings. That's not 60-something. That's a lot of 20-somethings and 30-somethings that want to have a good time and party. That's a lot of families. It's a ton of kids going to these games. And these kids are growing up, and Atlanta United is their thing. That demographic's a huge demographic that MLS says we can capitalize on this. If we've got young people and 20s and 30s, now they can grow up with us and we're normal to them. You know, if you're already in your 40s or 50s or beyond, having a soccer team to root for isn't normal in the U.S. You don't have this kind of lineage of your parents and grandparents grew up with a soccer team. So that's really different. And those young people are different because they grew up in the internet age. So they can watch whatever they want to watch whenever they want to watch it. You know, I have a nephew who's 7 years old. He comes to Christmas this year dressed head to toe in Messi gear. Not like he had spaghetti all over him, Leo Messi. He has a Messi jersey, a Messi shorts, a Messi socks, and he got them all for Christmas. Now, when I was 7 years old, I might have been a soccer fan. I couldn't have found any place to watch the star player in soccer internationally. There was no internet. He's watching YouTube highlights of Messi. He's playing as Messi on Xbox. That's his guy. Now, this is a 7-year-old kid that lives in the States, and he is totally in love with an international soccer star. That's absolutely different today than it's ever been. And so I do think they have a lot of dynamics on their side, demographics on their side, and I could see them overtaking, you know, MLB and hockey in some ways, because once those 7-year-olds and 12-year-olds and 15-year-olds and 20-year-olds become the 40-year-olds, now they dominate their conversation. You know, now they're in my seat and they're talking about the things they want to talk about. They're producing shows. They're producing talk shows. They're producing highlight shows. And once that generation's in the power of making the message and making the stuff that they like, guess what? Things change. And it's far more culturally significant. And even though TV ratings are bad for MLS, companies love being part of MLS. It's a safe league to be part of. You don't have a lot of political infighting. You know, yes, there's been somewhat of a controversy about what type of signage you can bring to stadiums, whether it can be political or not, but largely it's an apolitical, inclusive type of vibe. Young people like it. Diverse groups like it. It is friendly to a lot of different parts of the society. And companies are like, great, we like that. So big companies are buying in. There's a lot of corporate money behind MLS in the U.S. these days. That corporate money knows where the money's going to go. So for the MLS to say something bold like, next 10, 15 years, we're taking over as number three, is not crazy. For them to say we're going to catch the Premier League in 30 years, 40 years, that I think is out there. Being number three in this country, baseball, that's why baseball's got to figure out its act. Because if it's going to lose the 7, 10, and 12-year-old, you know, in 20 years, the decision makers in terms of what families spend what on their entertainment dollar comes down to a bunch of kids that didn't really grow up loving baseball the way that I grew up loving baseball. When we come back, the Super Bowl halftime show, slightly controversial, I suppose. The FCC has released the public complaints. I can't wait to read through these on the air. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
It's new on CBS.
We've got it all together.
It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
28 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Appreciate you being with us at a fine Thursday. Our toll-free line is sponsored by Geico, 855-212-4227. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work. Get a quote at geico.com. That's easy. Remember, you can watch us at watchda.com. That's also available inside the radio.com app. So download the app. It's free. And listen to us live. Listen to us in podcast form. And watch us on the radio.com app. How cool is that? That just started this week. So we're excited to be on the app in video form. So we had, obviously, the Super Bowl a couple of weeks ago. And that is the radio.com app that is playing on my phone right now. So we had the Super Bowl a couple of weeks ago, and we had J-Lo and Shakira shaking their things on the screen. Now, I don't understand. I guess I do understand people that are upset that maybe it was too sexualized, but I find it hysterical. We live in such a hyper-sexualized society that J-Lo and Shakira only reflect that. They're not the only people that do this. Walk down the street, cleavage out. Open up a magazine, guys wearing nearly no clothes. check out billboards. I mean, just yesterday I was in Columbus Circle for that MLS event, and I'm looking at Kendall Jenner bent over backwards in almost no clothing on a giant billboard right next to the sidewalk. Turn on TV, watch Two Broke Girls, or when it was on. Watch reruns of Two and a Half Men. All of those jokes are sexual jokes. Every single punchline is a sexual punchline. Everything is a double entendre. Everything. So I find it hysterical when there's a segment of society that watches the Super Bowl halftime show and freaks out that that's too sexual. Doesn't matter what time you turn on TV. Doesn't matter where you walk down the street. Doesn't matter what song you listen to on the radio or at station. You'll find sexualized stuff everywhere. And don't get me started on the internet. Every time you scroll to the bottom of a page, there's like five different, check out this news anchor's dress slip. Check out this shot where this celebrity looks like she's wearing no clothes. I mean, everything on the internet has been sexualized already. Everything. That's how we get numbers, clicks, titillation. So don't get me started on the total hypocrisy of people watching the halftime show and saying, oh my God, my kids can't watch that. Well, then you should keep them away from TV in general. You should not let them watch any TV ever, nor listen to any top 40 radio station, because almost every top 40 song references some type of sexualization. I mean, what do you have to see on TV at any award show? Almost every dress leaves almost nothing to be desired. I mean, everything is like, wow, we're showing all of that now. And this is at like the Met Gala. This is supposed to be the highest of sophistication, and the Met Gala leaves nothing to the imagination. So I just find it hysterical. Oh my God, Shakira. I think I saw her butt cheek. Are you awake in America in 2020? Everything is sexualized. Everything. I can't believe it. The kids. The children. Sure. Uh-huh. Right. As you watch Two and a Half Men and every joke is about a sexual act. Got it. And as we watch our public figures say awful things and do awful things all of the time, it's like, oh, but Shakira and J-Lo. I mean, it's fine if our elected officials say really crass, crude things about women and about, but J-Lo cannot show her butt. Oh my God. So the FCC's complaints have now been made public, and the FCC got 1,312 complaints about the halftime show. Guys, cue the music. I'd like to read through some of this. Now, I thank SI.com for bringing together some of the best of here. Number one, quote, the simulated padding of J-Lo's derriere is not for family television. I really respect the use of derriere in 2020.
I wouldn't even know how to spell it writing it out to the FCC.
If you write it out, do you have to include the accent mark on the second E or the first E? The second E.
Not every computer has that.
Exactly. Which really makes the use of derriere really special. Also, was there simulated padding of her derriere?
Yeah, I think when that other guy, we had no idea who it was. What was his name? Mickey Deadmouse, whatever he came out.
One of the greats.
Whoever came out there. There was some guy who came out, remember? He was
bebopping
and booping all over the place.
The guy in the costume.
The guy in the costume. I think he did a fake simulating of the padding.
Not Deontay Wilder.
No.
Another complaint. The 2020 Super Bowl halftime show contained indecent, sexual, and risque content that was unsuitable for all viewers, especially young viewers. The performers exposed areas of the lower buttocks, abdomen, and cleavage. This content was clearly obscene and should not have been broadcast. I believe Fox should be subject to regulatory penalties for broadcasting obscene content not suitable for public viewing.
You know what? Great. Next year, bring out Whoopi Goldberg and the rest of the crew from Sister Act, and that could be the halftime show.
How about the use of lower buttocks and abdomen?
Yeah.
An exposed stomach.
I mean, and cleavage. Have you walked past the mannequin? We saw them in South Beach.
Those were some mannequins.
I wrote her a Valentine's Day card.
Another complaint. The halftime show was totally inappropriate for the millions of young kids watching a football game. It was disgusting, except to maybe men. Women and children watch football, and this was awful. Get some class. Again, if you're looking to the NFL for class, I think you're in the wrong spot. This is the National Football League you get, where people are smashing into one another at really high speeds and leaving one another wrecked like it was a car crash. You're looking for class from this event? Also, the idea that there wasn't a woman watching that might have liked the J-Lo and Shakira performance? My wife loved it.
My wife loved it. My sisters loved it. They were all singing, dancing, having a great time.
I think my wife and mom loved Shakira and J-Lo more than I loved it.
I would agree. There's a lot of women who looked at it as women empowerment as well.
Or just good entertainment.
Yes, like, you're allowed to just be entertained.
I don't know why you're looking at J-Lo and Shakira for some type of morality marker on America. Like, this is what they do. They dress up in pretty scantily clad outfits, and they grind, and they dance, and they sing, and this is, they've made, like, and there's tons of little girls that go to their shows. There's tons of moms and dads that bring young people to J-Lo and Shakira shows. This is not like it's some type of X-rated theater.
I got news for you. Your daughter, when she turns 21, is going to go shake her bonbon at a club anyway, whether she saw that halftime show or not.
But let's say you were worried about your 10-year-old daughter seeing this. Would you not take your 10-year-old daughter to a Shakira concert?
Right.
There's tons of 10-year-olds at Shakira concerts.
Exactly. It's nuts.
Quote, the halftime show is totally inappropriate for the millions of young kids watching a football game. Around 8 p.m. Eastern time, I witnessed numerous crotch shots with so little fabric covering that a clinch would have made it indistinguishable from a pure crack.
Interesting.
Leather pants fully exposing butt cheeks, pole dancing, twerking, sexual gyrations, crotch grabs, and pelvic thrusts were all in front of my family and friends with preschoolers and elementary age students. We were watching an NFL football game, not HBO. Are thongs and assless chaps considered appropriate attire before 10 p.m. on network TV now? At a minimum, sensor bars and blurs should have been required. Could you imagine that with this halftime show? Sensor bars?
Are people forgetting that we saw an actual exposed breast not that long ago at halftime?
Well, and in that case, the world freaked out.
They did. But, I mean, I think if that's the line we drew, we were okay with what we got this year.
More complaints. Whoever greenlit that display of crotch shots and too much skin exposed along with stripper poles and SM outfits should be fired. It's 8:30 p.m. Kids are still up watching the game. What the hell? I'm sure that there's lots of parents explaining that there's really not how one should behave in public. Is this really what we can expect? I'm out. I don't watch porn. I don't want it mixed up with football. Boo. Number one, booing in a written form is amazing. But also, imagine
thinking that was porn. Is that your follow-up question?
Imagine saying, don't watch J-Lo and Shakira concerts for how to act in public, how to behave in public. Like, that's not how you go to school. That's just how people sing and dance.
And like I said at the time, I was watching the Super Bowl with 2 8-year-olds and 2 6-year-olds. And you know what? They don't know that they're S&M outfits because they don't know what S&M is. If your kid knows what S&M is and goes, why is J-Lo wearing an S&M costume? That's your fault for letting your kids know that. My kids thought it was funny. They thought it was silly. They don't know context. They don't know that it was a stripper pole because they're kids.
You can't say it's a fire pole?
Mraz said, just say it's a fireman's pole.
No one asked. They thought she was doing gymnastics because that's what they know. We know it was dirtier and naughtier because we're adults. They don't know that as kids.
Finally, my favorite. That was a disgusting display allowed of something that our children can't unsee. It's soft porn.
Ah! I can't unsee it.
Fine the NFL or stop halftime shows. Apparently, they didn't watch The Who a couple of years ago. Or Coldplay. Fine the NFL as though the NFL was going to get like a fine and say, oh, I guess the Super Bowl is off from now on. Inappropriate, honoring a dog killer, and now this, boycotting the NFL. All caps, by the way. Imagine bringing Michael Vick into this conversation.
It makes sense to me. Connection's clear as day.
We had a peanut resurrected from life at the Super Bowl. That's what message is that sending kids?
I don't know. And finally, one more complaint coming to the FCC.
I really have no use for the halftime show. Yeah. I never do. I don't.
Yeah, I hear you.
My wife enjoys it far more than I do, and I'd like my kids to be able to enjoy it. And they did. The problem is, I don't want them to see what they were enjoying.
Yeah.
Not yet.
I hear you.
Not when you're 3 and 5.
BT, not a fan.
Come on.
Not a fan. So, a lot of complaints coming in about the halftime show. Here's my guess. The Super Bowl goes on. Yeah. My guess is there's more halftime shows, and my guess is that there's not going to be enough people boycotting the NFL.
How do these people go to vacation with their kids and explain what a bikini is? How do you?
Did BT have Samter email an MP3 to the FCC of their show? Is that his audio complaint?
Audio submission.
Time? I mean, come on, people.
No, that wasn't an FCC complaint.
I want to live in a world where my concern, which leads me to write a complaint, is the Super Bowl halftime show.
Do you think that maybe incredible violence on television where, like, everybody's shooting everybody and there's actual blood could be a concern? Do you think that maybe, like, first-person shooter games might be a concern in terms of... Do you think that maybe, you know, there's unbelievably graphic script writing when it comes to these crime shows where, like, I watch them and go, wow, we're talking about that body part and having that done to it? That might be a little too graphic when they play on reruns at like 7 o'clock in the afternoon.
Law and Order, Special Victims Unit on replay all day long as kids are home.
Do we think that maybe like those hospital shows where there's like really grotesque burn victims and really terrible crimes that are committed that again air all day long might be slightly scarring? Do we think that just by the way, the internet, just the internet in general, have you ever been on Instagram? There's really not a lot of rules on Instagram. You don't need to look far to find things that are way more offensive.
Yeah. To go back to that one that you read, maybe that person should watch real porn and then watch the halftime show and realize that's not porn and have a different take on J-Lo and Shakira.
But also,
and halftime doesn't give you the phone a virus.
Exactly.
J-Lo and Shakira have made their entire careers out of that show. What we saw at halftime was what their careers have been.
Yeah.
So has everybody been worried that their careers have been really distasteful? Like, that's what they've done for 25 years and been considered mainstream American entertainment. They are not considered, like, out of left field, a little dangerous, a little edgy. They are the most mainstream entertainers we have.
Yeah.
Like, it's just...
It's ridiculous.
Anyway, Andrew Bogish is in with your headlines. Good morning, Andrew.
Oh, hey, DA. Here are those headlines sponsored by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. Easy. We have already heard the game-winning last-second three for number 9 Maryland last night at Minnesota. It came around 11 p.m. Eastern, so head coach Mark Turgeon a little salty post-game on Big Ten Network.
My goal is to be in my driveway before 4:30. We played a 9 o'clock Eastern game in Minnesota on a weeknight. Makes no sense. Thanks.
Turgeon then went inside, had his normal post-game press conference, and apologized to the Big Ten.
He has a point.
Oh, he definitely has a point.
Maryland-Minnesota is a weeknight conference game.
Yes.
Think about that.
And again, it's about the student-athletes. But they can be in Minnesota, not Maryland, at 11 p.m. on a Wednesday night.
Wednesday night, Maryland-Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Conference game.
Yes. But again, can't mess with the Big Ten, so an apology post-game from coach.
I mean, Miami has to play at BC as a conference game.
Right. And
that's a 2.5-hour flight.
And never forget, it's one thing when it's basketball and football, but like the softball team and the tennis team.
Exactly.
And the baseball team. Think of those American, UConn. Going to Houston for a conference baseball series. Come on now. Number 16, Penn State, was the opening act for that Maryland-Minnesota late-night tip. They beat Rutgers 65-64. In the NBA, Joel Embiid joining Ben Simmons on the Sixers injury report. The All-Star Center sprained his left shoulder in a collision with a Cavalier. In last night's 108-94 loss in Cleveland, Embiid left the arena with his arm in a sling. No idea right now when he is back. LeBron is out tonight as the Lakers meet the Warriors, and Hornets guard Malik Monk suspended for an undisclosed drug policy violation. He'll return when he's in, quote, full compliance with the program. And the latest rumors from the scouting combine about the future of Tom Brady say the Patriots have yet to make contact with Brady's camp as we inch towards the beginning of free agency.
Dum, dum, dum.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, Pete the Body brings up a good point on whether the halftime show was offensive. You brought up Watch The Bachelor.
Oh, my God. The Bachelor. I get uncomfortable watching that. Making out.
All it is hooking up.
It's all talk about sex the whole time.
The whole thing?
The whole show. That's uncomfortable. So,
that's network television at what, 8 p.m.?
Yeah, if you think the Super Bowl halftime show was uncomfortable, you'll be in Washington if you watch that.
Thank you, Andrew. When we come back, advanced analytics on the poll question. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
No one knows what analytics is. They think it's like a bunch of nerds doing math, which I don't know. Maybe that's what it is.
It's time now for the Mothership's Advanced Analytics.
Well, we have a split today. On Twitter, the poll question of the day had a much different result than on Facebook. On Twitter, who is the more insufferable fan to see at a game, Marlins man or Drake? On Twitter, Marlins man wins at 57%, beating Drake as Giannis got into it with Drake, basically told him to sit down and shut the bleep up and said, I don't care about him. You care about me. I don't care about you, Drake. Marlins man won on Twitter. On Facebook, it was a runaway for Drake. 75% of you on Facebook said Drake was more insufferable. Marlins man is the owner of Starship Stables, which is more than 100 thoroughbreds as well. He sold his jersey, visor, and tickets from the 2014 World Series on eBay for about $5,000. Good news was he did donate it to Make-A-Wish Foundation, so at least that's a good thing for Marlins man. Drake, it's just tough to stomach either one of those guys when you see them at the game. Let's get to your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls. Mraz, where do we go here? The Giancarlo Stanton, you're a piggy?
No, this is me and Bilotti almost coming to blows today.
Oh, right.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
How do you feel, Pete, when Mraz says, get me Rubinoff?
All right. I'll tell him, go ahead. Fine. Get Sam in here. Get him in here for a month. And let's see.
Again, I mean, so now, hold on now. You really want to peel back the curtain?
And now some friction, and almost Jerry DePoto-Mike Social-like friction.
You're the one that did this.
Time out, though, Pete. It is totally fair game when I'm on paternity leave to bring in producer interview after producer interview after producer interview. This, that, and the other one doing Pat Shermer imitations of me, talking about that I can't book guests. It's all fair game.
Between the competitors on the CBS side.
But say one sentence, get me Rubinoff, and it's, go ahead then, give it to me for a month. Not fair to do it to you, but it's all giggles and chuckles the clown when it's producer interviews for me.
Hey, I'm just...
Don't you think that's a little hypocritical?
I just said, bring him in. You wanted to bring him
but
in?
But you said it with a sarcastic tone.
Mraz, it was like it should have been delivered on a silver platter.
I'm just acknowledging what you want. So, you want to bring in Sam? Bring in Sam.
Pete, I think you
that's fine.
No, Pete, you do a great job. But Sam does a good job, too, just like everybody would do this. My point there in
come on down.
Taking that shot at you was you didn't take the 2 seconds. You caused a frantic panic in the newsroom when it could have been corrected in 2 seconds.
Come on down, Sam.
Sam's not doing it.
Enjoy it.
Now, Pete, were you frantic? Were you unnecessarily frantic?
No, I just asked him, where is soundcheck?
So many different emotions on so many different levels.
So then I went
an
back.
Aggressive tone.
Yeah, because the segment's coming up. Well, what am I going to say? Oh, hey, by the way, in 1 minute, go get the sound we need.
In the 30 seconds it took him to waltz his ass out to the newsroom to yell at me in an aggressive tone, it could have took him 1 second to hit play, and we would have been fine.
Oh, I'm so tired of you. I really am.
You were just off
just
for the 40th day of this year. What do you mean you're tired
of
me?
I'm so tired of you.
We didn't see each other for 18 days.
Hard work. Faith. Education.
Now you're tired of me?
Yeah.
All right, you know what then?
2 days.
Schedule a WWE pay-per-view Sunday. You won't be tired of me Monday.
Don't you have another week to take off?
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Few things more entertaining than Mraz and Pete the Body yelling at one another, although I will say that I feel like that was a good vent session. You guys got it out because it felt like the final 2 hours of the show. You guys were fine.
Oh, no, it's smooth. All laughs over here. But that's what we do. We're family. And family fights and family forgives.
Yeah, it's okay.
It's Pete okay.
Pete also bought me my green tea today.
Okay. All right.
Pleasant.
All right. Pete also bought Billy Giacalone, I believe, a breakfast sandwich.
Well, he took the walk, so I figured, you know.
Taking care of the guys. Leader.
Feeding the hogs. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer here on the DA Show. Thanks to Pete the Body Bellotti on the Wheels of Steel and audio director. Thanks to Andrew Bogish on your headlines and Andrew Kaplan, your wizard of watchda.com. Be good and be good to one another. We'll see you tomorrow. The Mothership disconnects.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.